Hello and welcome to season 2 of the Couples Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Sian.
And I am still Tom.
And we're just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
In today's episode, we have finally watched the first chapter of season 2, Mad Max.
Shall we dive in?
Yes, we shall.
Let's go. So I think I should probably start by saying sorry that we paused for a week from the podcast. That was more down to me. I am very pregnant now and there was a hell of a lot to do in our house this week. We've had a baby shower this weekend, haven't we?
We have.
Which has been so lovely. But yeah, we had to get our house prepared for that. And
that's it. There's just too much going on.
Yeah.
So you needed the time.
I needed the time because the thing is, I've got Harry in the day and there's not much time in the evening without him either.
Exactly.
To get everything done. And this podcast, we absolutely love doing this podcast and we never for a minute wanted it to feel like some sort of chore.
Exactly. That's it. We didn't want it to feel like a chore. We want to not catch up, but we want to have a few episodes ahead.
Yes.
So that we don't have to pause.
Yeah.
But we just never got around to that. I'm just glad we paused between seasons.
It
was the perfect time to pause. It makes complete sense.
It's worked out really well.
Yeah.
And
I think so.
And honestly, like, I think it just shows that we are enjoying this podcast so much because we've both been really excited to record this.
Yeah. Not only to watch the show,
of course.
Desperate to get into season 2, but yeah, I enjoy then chatting to my lovely lady friend about it.
Your lady friend. But this is it as well. Like, we've watched, obviously, chapter 1 today, Mad Max, and we watched it with Harry, which was so cute.
I know, he was just sat there in the middle of the sofa just watching it completely normally. And I mean, I can't think of any other time he's done that.
No.
For anything.
And I mean, if you catch our Instagram story on Couples Guide to Stranger Things within the next 24 hours, you'll see our little picture of the three of our sets of feet.
Yes.
He's got these cute little feet in between us and, yeah, happily watching the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. I'm amazed.
I know.
But
I know.
He is our son. And as I say, he owes his life to this show. So yeah.
I'm glad he's showing it respect.
Yes. It must just be in his blood somewhere. He just knows deep within.
Yes.
Now, before we do get into the episode, talking about not having the time to do this and hence why we had to pause.
Yeah.
That ironically brings us onto a point where we've had to decide to split this episode in two. Solely because these episodes are getting so long lately.
Yeah.
My God, we were nearly pushing 3 hours, weren't we, on the last one?
Well, and this is the thing. I know that we'd said that we, you know, you can pause. But I listened back to our podcast and even I was like, okay, this is getting a bit long. Because I wanted to listen to the whole episode.
I get
that. As a whole.
I get that, yeah.
I didn't want to have to pause over a day.
Yeah, but that's it. I get that from a person who used to listen to podcasts before we started doing this. I get that. You're in the moment. You don't want to pause because you're then trying to find the point where you're like, okay, they've stopped there. But you don't know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
So you don't know if this is a good point to pause.
And as we watch the episode, we do write notes. And I think we could just kind of tell from our notes to today that it was going to be a long episode.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, obviously last episode was a summary of the entirety of season 1 in a whole.
Yeah.
So that was going to be a long episode, but hey, this is a learning journey for us.
Yes,
you're on that journey with us. You're on this curiosity voyage.
Yeah.
With us on this, so here we are learning. And yeah, we've decided that this nearly 2 hour episode is going to be split in two instead to save you having to find the point to pause.
I think it's a good place to start where we say what we expected from season 2 going into it for that first time.
I've really got to try and get myself in that mindset.
And I feel like I know why, and it's probably for the same reason for me, because we got to watch them one after the other.
Exactly.
So, like, we, you know, we were able to almost treat it like one big season.
I've said before, and I always mean it, season 1 and 2 kind of exist together for me.
Yeah,
because I watched 1 and then straight into 2, without a gap at all. It was just, yeah, they blurred together to me. I can't have season one without season two.
No.
I can't have season two without season one. So, yeah, exactly that. It's going to be hard to try and remember those brief seconds between season one and two when I first binged them.
Well, I remember I said to you today that for me, when I was first told about Stranger Things, it was when season two had just come out. And I remember on Netflix, it was on the main display of Netflix, and it started playing the trailer.
Yes.
And I quickly would swipe away onto something else because it was quite creepy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the pumpkins and it's the corn maze and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, no, no, no.
They really played on a Halloween theme.
Yeah, they did. And yeah, I was like, no, 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 this is going to be scary. It's not for me. So quickly, like, moved away from it.
Yeah, that's it. I never let myself see any trailers.
Yeah.
And that includes, like, the ones that Netflix used to tease in your face straight away. I just didn't watch them. I didn't watch anything for season one. I went in blind, other than what I saw in the bad lip reading.
Yeah.
But then for season two, I had nothing, because the bad lip reading came out before season two did.
Yes.
Came out. I think it came out in sort of a celebration that season two was happening.
Yeah.
But still, it didn't have any footage from season two at all. So completely blind. I think I knew that Elle was going to be in there. Going in. But beyond that, I didn't know how much time was going to be between the seasons.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Elle was with Hopper or anything like that.
Well, for me, I remember I was expecting Elle to be back, as I had seen the posters and things like that. And I think I'd caught, not necessarily watched interviews of the cast, but I'd seen them, you know, popping up on different programmes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I knew she was going to be back.
I remember they had to admit that quite early on before the season released anyway, because Millie was pretty much caught filming.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
So I was expecting Elle to be back, but I wasn't expecting her to be in Hawkins. I was expecting her to be stuck in the Upside Down and make contact with Mike from the Upside Down.
Oh, so you thought she would have basically took the place of Will, in that sense?
Kind of, yeah, because we, you know, season one had just ended for us, obviously, because we went straight in.
Yeah.
With her disappearing, so I thought she's going to be stuck in the Upside Down now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I kind of thought Will's going to help the boys navigate how to get her out, because he's now got an understanding of the Upside Down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, really, to be honest. I'm trying to think if that would have come to my mind, because, yeah, that's exactly where, like you say, that's where we left off. So it's like, how could she have come back?
Yeah.
If the gates, well, the gate is still open, so is she going to have to make her way all the way to Hawkins' lab and get through the gate there?
Exactly, and that's not where she wants to come out.
No, exactly.
Inside Hawkins' lab.
But if she has no option, I think
she'd
just have to.
Yeah.
And then maybe slaughter her way out.
I know. Oh, God. Bless her. But yeah, so we start the actual episode now, and it started not where I thought it was going to.
Yeah, exactly.
In Pennsylvania.
I can't remember exactly where in Pennsylvania. It does say.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Pittsburgh, I think.
Maybe. But yeah, it starts there, and I remember my eyebrows sort of raising slightly in a curious look, like, why?
Yeah.
Why are we here?
Who are these people?
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. Then we get onto the breakout, and I'm like, okay, who are these people?
Yeah.
Why do we care about them? And obviously, I've said before, episode 7 of this season is a very important one, so I'm not insulting any of these people.
Yeah.
But this is my first thought of them right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do we care about these people? Who are they? Where's my L? Where's Mike? Where's our gang?
I don't think I thought of it as that deep, because season 1 started with a lab technician, you know, who we never see again.
Do you know what? I remember my exact thought process now. That's just sort of awakened the memory.
Yeah.
I remember going into it, thinking this, and then remembering, hold on a minute, I'm starting a new season.
Yeah.
Like season one, like you just said, season one starts with that guy in the lab running for his life.
Yeah.
And so I think I, for a moment, had to remind myself, this is episode 1 of a new season. They're going to do the same thing again, where we see a little bit, and then it cuts over to Hawkins, and that's exactly what it does.
That's it. And obviously, this scene is where we get introduced to Callie for the first time. Now, at what point in that scene would you say that you noticed there was something different about her?
So, for me, I think the moment I realised something was different is after she blows up the roof of that tunnel.
Mm.
But then the cop looks back and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And at that moment I was like, okay, so it wasn't telekinesis then.
Yeah.
She, I guess, either it's magically repaired itself
mm.
or she made him imagine it. And we know, obviously, yeah. it's the latter. But, yeah, I think going into it, as soon as, I can't remember their names, Axel tells her to, well, he says, do something, Callie.
Yeah, he literally says, do something, Callie. And,
yeah.
And it was at that point I was thinking, what? What's she going
to do? Exactly, exactly. The fact that he's saying, do something, clearly she's got some sort of ability. That's yeah. the moment I knew that she was going to have some sort of ability.
Yes.
It was as soon as he said that. But yeah, when the bridge first blew up, I just assumed she was the same as Elle, telekinesis.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's not blown up and I'm like, oh. At first, I was just really confused when it first happened.
Yeah.
And it took me a moment to think, well, I mean, we don't see her again. So I can't remember if I thought of it then or if it was until, see, episode 7. I was like, oh, it's just in their head. They're just seeing it.
Yeah, I just, like, I thought she had some sort of, yeah, mind power that she got into this police officer's head. At first, I did completely believe that she'd blown up the tunnel.
Yes.
But, yeah, the way the police officer reacted, I was like, oh, she's got some sort of mind power. And then, for me, the moment where I was like, oh, was when she has the nosebleed and she wipes at it and she's got 8, you know, tattooed on her. I was like, hello, we've got another subject.
Yeah, but that didn't surprise me because of the fact that, you know, she says boom and then the thing blows up.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I immediately knew that she had some sort of ability. Didn't know she was going to be number 8, obviously. I didn't realise she was going to be part of Hawkins' lab. But
that's what I mean. Like, I kind of assume with Elle having this ability that she's not, and obviously her being subject 11, that she's not going to be alone.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't think with, when I saw Callie, I think because of the situation as well of them running away from a robbery, I immediately assumed she was a bad guy and that maybe she'd end up fighting against Elle at some point during the season.
Okay.
Almost like a bit of a Henry, basically. Like, yeah. She'd be on the other side. And but when I saw that tattoo, I was like, oh, no, she's just like Elle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, that was kind of like my thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think it clicked in my head straight away that none of the other cops saw the explosion.
Yeah.
Because
I was like, do they, like, what? Why are they not, you know, reacting?
Why are they not reacting? And why are they berating the driver of that first car for making that quick stop?
Yeah.
Because the bridge just blew up. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it didn't.
I know. It was. I think it was a good opener.
It was a good opener.
Because it does at first give you that, wait, what's going on? Who are these people? And then suddenly you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. It opens up the world
beyond
11.
Yeah, definitely. Beyond like Hawkins.
Like you say, it's very obvious that there are at least 10 other subjects.
Yeah.
So, and I know now, after season 4, they go up to at least 18.
I know, which blew my mind, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so that's it. Elle wasn't the last.
No.
Which you fully expect with her abilities and the fact that she's the one breaking out at first. You assume that they got to Elle and then she's the one that broke the cycle.
Yeah.
But no,
but it's
not really
the case, no.
No, exactly. Sure, well, Henry broke the cycle.
Yeah.
But
he did.
He did indeed. Broke a few things. But, yeah.
It's just a couple of limbs, you know, here and there.
A couple of bones here and there. A couple of eyeballs.
Oh, God. Oh, don't. But, yeah, like, from that scene of Callie, obviously, we get those, the opening titles, which just give you goosebumps
every time. They do.
Oh, I love it. And then we went into a scene that we kind of recognise. We got Dustin
straight away.
Yeah,
being himself,
being his absolute self. And I honestly think, like, going on from like season 1, I feel like it started with Dustin for a reason, because he is so popular, and yes, he was so popular in season one that they were like, yeah, let's go straight in with Dustin.
Exactly, just give the fans what they want.
Yeah, definitely. And it was nice because we finally see, I know there was a different actress playing his mum in season one.
Oh, was there? But
yeah, yeah, at the funeral, it's a completely different actress.
I didn't, well, I suppose that's it. She was literally just stood behind them, so they didn't pay any attention.
Just cast to literally, she was basically an extra, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was just put there to exist.
Yeah, but obviously, I don't know the name of the actress, but obviously his mum is cast, yes, and we get to see her. We see Muse the cat, and Dustin is just his brilliant self looking for change.
And can I just say that who they cast as his mother, perfect.
Yeah.
Yet again, back to the perfect casting.
Yeah. She did look related, definitely.
I'm just thinking at the moment, they're just both looking at each other like, eh, I'm not getting up.
No, no. And then, obviously, Dustin, I was going to say rings Lucas, but that's not the word, really.
No.
What would be the word for the supercom? He
radios him.
Radios him, there we go. He radios Lucas, and Lucas is like, you know, I've been working. I've been, he's like the mature one, isn't he?
Yeah, take in that your sense. Puny haul and multiply it by five.
Yeah.
Or four.
And what I noticed that I said to you, didn't I, was that Dustin says, oh, well, can't you just call Mike? Like, call Mike. And he's like, no, you call Mike. And there's a hesitance in Dustin. He doesn't want to call Mike.
Yeah.
And that is because Mike is clearly not staying on the same radio channel. And so how many occasions have they had where they have tried numerous channels to get through to Mike?
Exactly. I don't know how many channels these Supercom have.
You can tell it's clearly a massive frustration because Dustin, like when Dustin does get through, he's like, Mike, do you copy? Mike.
Yeah.
You know, he's clearly had a nightmare getting through to him.
Exactly. And that's it. It's clear that they've had enough of it. I know you're going to say it later on, but they've moved on.
Yeah.
Mike obviously hasn't. And they're having to suffer the consequences for that sense.
But I don't even know if at this point they know Mike is looking for Elle via the radio, because Dustin's like,
what are you doing on this
channel?
What
are you doing on this channel?
That's it. They don't know that. And that's why I'm saying at the moment, they've just moved on and they're having to suffer the consequences of Mike being a bit weird.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned.
And that's it. Like, you know, we get that shot of Mike and he is sat in the pillow fort, and It hits us in the heartstrings, doesn't it?
Oh, it straight away punches you in the face if you care about Malevan at all.
Yeah, because you know, like, he hasn't mentioned 11 yet, but you know from that first scene that you see Mike in that there is already that connection, there's already that longing and missing
her. Well, that's it. He's sat in the pillow fort that he made for her.
Yeah.
And he's on a completely random radio channel.
Yeah.
Sat there talking to nobody.
Yeah.
And you won. Yeah, it's very obvious straight away that this guy misses his girl.
Yeah, and what's interesting though is, like, although that first scene is very fast, if you know what I mean,
it is.
We've got Dustin in it quickly, we've got Lucas, then we go to Mike, and then there is the comedy because, you know, you've got Mike stealing Nancy's like money out of her little piggy bank.
Yeah,
and her chasing him through the house and. It's like, I'll pay back.
Yeah.
And you do think, oh my God, like, what is the urgency? You know, where are they going? What's
exactly.
going on? And then, of course, they're going to the arcade.
Yep, which, I suppose, to every 13-year-old boy, it is very urgent.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. I love the aesthetic. I'm not very good at saying the word aesthetic.
I love the aesthetic of that arcade.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And to be honest, I think it kind of sets up the whole season, like, you have these really bold, bright colours, but then you've got a lot of darkness to the season.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where else is like that lit up neon wise. Obviously, season 3 is the season to go to if you want the neon lighting.
Oh yeah, God, definitely.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where else is lit up like that in season 2. I can't think of them, but I get exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it just kind of themes the whole season, like those. Yeah, really vibrant colours and then, like, darkness as well. Like, I feel like their clothes in season 2 were like that as well.
Yeah.
Like, really bright, bold colours, and then you've just got really dark, moody scenes happening and stuff. But, like, I thought, like, the music's great, you know, away.
Soundtrack to this season, they just throw them right in your face.
Yeah, definitely. Just
throwing all the big punches.
Yeah, you know, it was really good. And then you've got, obviously, the boys have all got to the arcade and Will is being dropped off by Joyce.
Yeah.
And he, to be fair, he seems happy and joyful in that moment. Yeah, he can't wait to get in.
Yeah, he's clearly used to this. You know, this has probably been going on since he got back.
Yeah.
And, you know, back on his feet. He's accepted the fact now that he's not going anywhere without his mother. And, yeah, I feel sorry for him in that sense. Because, you know, you go into the arcade, you want to bank yourself there.
Yeah.
You know, every
Would he, though?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
When you think about the trauma he's gone through, if it was me, I think I'd be happy for the lift, actually.
You raise a good point. That never occurred to me, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
You raise a very good point there, yeah. For all we know, he might be like, I ain't stepping on my bike ever again.
Yeah, but I do think you're right in the sense of, like, he's got used to Joyce dropping him off, but it, all those questions she says and checking that, you know, when you're done, he is probably very sick of.
He's making it very obvious that he's heard that a million times and does not need to be rattled on anymore.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because I was getting to the point, you know, when you're a teenager, the most embarrassing thing is for your mother to be dropping you off somewhere.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you raise a good point. He probably doesn't want to touch his bike ever again.
No. And I do wonder, you know, that we're coming up to a year since it's all happened. I wonder how many months it's been where she has been like, absolutely not, you cannot go out, you know, you've got to stay home, we've got to protect you. I wonder how much of a work in progress this has been for Will and for Joyce.
Yeah,
because to kind of lead up to.
I imagine it would have started as a, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Then it probably would have been, well, wherever you're going, I'm watching, I'm staying right with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, okay, maybe I'll stay outside.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, finally we're like, okay, I'll drop you off.
Yeah, that's it. It does make me wonder because, yeah, this wouldn't have been an overnight thing. There's just no way. Chance, especially not with Joyce.
No.
And then, yeah, so then we go obviously into the arcade scene itself. And I can't think of the game they're playing. It's the Princess.
Dragon's Lair, isn't it?
That's it. Because I'd written down about Dig Dug and Centipede, but that's obviously about the air. Scores have changed.
Yes, indeed.
Dustin is no longer number one.
Nope, he has been kicked right off there by the mysterious Mad Max.
Absolutely. And I love, like, yeah, when you said earlier, mentioned me saying about Dustin and Lucas moving on, this was kind of the moment for me, wasn't it, where I was seeing how serious they were taking being kicked off the top of the leaderboard and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that they have moved on with life.
Exactly. They're managing to act as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, that they have moved on from, like, what has happened a year ago.
And again, I have to wonder how long it might have taken them to move on.
Yes.
Because, you know, like you say, it's a year. Well, nearly a year after the events.
Yeah.
How long did it take for them to forget the Demogorgon, forget Elle, and forget everything they've been through? Because, like we said before, like we say so many times, these kids are going to suffer from PTSD.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're now here in an arcade and the most important thing in their life is the fact that someone's kicked them off the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
How long did that take?
And that's it as well. It's like going for the for and against argument kind of situation again. It does make me think maybe, well, we know they haven't forgotten about Elle because obviously Lucas talks about her later on in the season to Max. So they haven't forgotten about her, but it's like, it's interesting, like you're saying about the PTSD, how they're all dealing with that. So like some of them, such as Lucas and Dustin, seem to be dealing with that by potentially burying it down and being like, look, we've got to get on with the rest of our lives now.
We've got to go back to normal.
We are still children. Like, let's just have some fun. And a lot of people would admire that, really.
Yeah. That's it. Not wanting to dwell on the fact that they had to deal with this other dimension. The fact that, I mean, they know there's a gate out there and Elle hasn't closed it, so they know that that's still open.
Yeah.
If they think about it.
But do they? Like, you know, that's...
Or do they just assume because Elle's vanished, it should too? That's it. I suppose it depends if they're even thinking about it.
I mean, I think I'm trying to think back to like that season one ending, and I'm thinking, I think I thought it was closed now. I felt like it was like a byproduct of her killing off that Demogorgon. I thought it was closed.
I think either people are going to think it's closed because of what Elle did to get rid of the Demogorgon there, or it's just that thing where you've got so much going on that it's at the back of your mind. You forget the fact that there's a gate out there.
Yeah. Or you don't want to think about it. You don't want to think about what is really out there.
Exactly. That's it. Like you say, it might be a case where they're choosing to be blissfully ignorant.
Yeah, yeah.
To the fact that there's clearly a gate out there still, and something could make its way through if it wanted to.
Absolutely. And that's it, like, this scene in the arcade, like, you've got so much comedy as well, because, yes, they're taking it very seriously, but, it, like we've said before, it's that comedy where they're being all dramatic, but it's just laughable, isn't it?
Exactly. Yet again, it doesn't feel like forced comedy at all.
No, it's, like, so natural. And I can't actually... I feel awful now, because I've forgotten the name of the manager of the arcade, the teenage boy.
Oh, it's in the back of my mind.
Eating his... is it Cheetos or something like that?
He's eating Cheetos, yeah. Oh.
I wanted to say Clint, and I'm like, no.
Not Clint.
Maybe Clive?
No.
So a lot of people are going to be screaming at us right now going, it's blah, blah.
Oh, I'm pausing the podcast and I'm looking this up. I feel like I need to cue Dustin for a drum roll, but it is Keith.
It's Keith, people. We were very far off.
I mean, C, K. I at least had C in my mind. I wasn't thinking Paul?
Steve? Richard?
David?
Imagine that. All right, David.
Hey, Dave. At least I was on the correct lines with a C. And a K being related.
I was going to say, but no, you weren't on the right line with a C. Oh dear, but neither was I. So
they both make the K sound.
Okay. We'll move on from that. And we will move on to Keith wanting a date off Nancy for information.
Yeah, and... like, desperation, trying to go through some 13-year-old boy trying to get to his sister. But... I commented that I have big respect for Mike here.
Yes, me too.
Because we know that he and Nancy don't exactly see eye to eye, even now.
No.
He's just, you know, stole from her to go play in an arcade. And yet, to get some information, this guy's like, oh yeah, set me up a date with your sister. And he's like, no, I'm not prostituting my sister.
Because I love that the like Dustin and Lucas especially are looking at him like, go on, Mike. Go on, do it.
Yeah, they're looking at him like, bruh, what are you waiting for?
He's like, oh, gross. No, I'm not prostituting my sister. I'm like, fair play, Mike. Fair play.
Yeah, big respect to you for that because, yeah, you clearly don't see eye to eye and yet you have got some respect for her.
Although,
as we see here.
It does make me chuckle that Mike thinks he has the power to prostitute his sister out, as if Nancy's going to be like, sure, Mike.
Oh,
of
yeah,
course.
Sure, I'll sleep with him so you can find out who this random person is.
Yeah, I'll go on a date with Keith, no problem.
Yeah.
Especially because she is dating Steve at this moment in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, I'll leave my boyfriend to go and have a date with Keith from Palace Arcade.
Yes.
Because you asked me to.
Yeah, because you need to know who Mad Max, who kicked you off the leaderboard of Dig Dug and Centipede is.
I mean, that would be, I mean, sister goals beyond belief. But no, it's not going to happen, is it?
Not a chance.
But this is the thing, like, we have these light comedy moments and everything has gone so fast. Like, from the start of this episode, it's like scene after scene after scene.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, Will, like, hears some noises.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's changed.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Whenever Will has a scene, the episode just slows down for a bit.
Yeah.
To make his scenes serious.
Yeah. Because he says, like, you know, oh, guys, did you... I think he says, did you hear that?
He's about to say that, but then he turns around and nobody's there.
No.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember... And I do remember thinking, you know, has he been transported to the Upside Down or is he having a flashback? I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I'm still not too sure.
Well, this is it. So I mean, we know obviously now it's all in his head. He's, we don't know if he's seeing live or if it is flashbacks, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think it's live though, because later on, obviously, he directs them to where the tunnels are.
Yeah.
And he sees what's going on. So I think it's, well, what is it? No, Mike calls them now memories later on, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely live. So, obviously, we don't know this first going into the show.
Yeah.
But I can't try and pretend to not know the show. So, from what we know now, which I think is an interesting perspective anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's plenty of podcasts out there if you want a first-time watch. But
no, everyone knows this isn't a first-time watch.
No, exactly. And we can't pretend that it is.
No.
I physically can't go back and remember that. So, either way, yeah. We know that it's now memories, it's live, he's seeing this happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And there might be elements of PTSD as well. You know, it doesn't really explicitly tell you whether it's a memory or something right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, he's seen something outside. Well, no, he's heard something outside.
Yeah.
And yeah, he turns around, looking out there, seeing what it was, and again, like you say, he goes to get their attention, like, guys, did you hear that? But nobody's there.
Yeah.
So, my God, why are you walking towards the sound?
That's a difficult question, but at the same time, there's no one there in the arcade. Like, what do you do?
Well, I mean, surely this isn't the first time that this has happened.
That I'm not sure on again. Like, I can't remember if he later explains to Dr. Summer and if this was the first time or not. Or I feel like this is meant to be the first time.
I don't know.
Well, no, but we say that actually. But in season one, obviously, he's throwing up the slugs, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then
and he
for
flashes.
A moment, yeah, he flashes to the upside down.
Yeah. So it very much happens there. And the way he's talking with Sam later on implies that they've been having these conversations a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely not the first time he's going into the lab.
Because no,
Lucas,
definitely not.
When he gets picked up from school, Lucas is like, he's always weird when he has to go in.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
So, you know, he's been there before, and I think, I like what you said when we were watching it. I like how honest Will is being to Joyce and
yeah.
everyone else. Because clearly she's basically doing a case where he says it's happened.
Yeah.
And she's like, right, we're going to see Sam.
Yeah, yeah, we're booking another appointment and yeah, we're going.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad he does have that honesty with her. And that's it, in that scene, like, you know, he does go outside of the arcade and we see this scene of what he's seeing. And then suddenly he's brought back into reality because Mike goes to look for him. And I, like I said to you, I feel like Mike's the one who has gone to look for him because Mike's PTSD is that he does not want to lose another person.
Exactly, that's it. He had nearly lost Will
yeah.
in season one. You know, he thought he died, all of that. And then he's lost Elle.
Yeah.
And so now he's like, well, no, I'm not losing you too.
It's such cruelty, really, isn't it, towards Mike? Because, like you say, like, his one of his best friends is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, even before they know they've got his best friend back, the girl he's fallen in love with is now gone. You
yeah.
know, it's brutal. It's absolutely
yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, that's
to
it.
Him.
You can't blame Mike for being the moody teenager that he is in this
yeah.
season. You really can't blame him for any of it.
But like we said before, Finn plays angst very, very well.
Yeah, it's clearly his profession.
Yeah,
is, yeah. Being a depressed teenager.
Yeah. But that's it, like, after this arcade scene, you know, and Will has said to Mike, you know, oh, everything's fine. We've got the police station, so we've got Murray Bauman
yeah.
arriving. Well, no, sorry, he's already there. He is
yeah.
ready and waiting for
yeah.
Hopper. Clearly not the first time
he was
whatsoever.
Queuing there for, like, the release of a brand new video game or something.
Yeah.
Queuing outside the shop.
He was queuing, there. Waiting for season 5.
Yeah. He was queuing, waiting for those doors to that police station to open, yeah. knowing full well that Hopper's not going to get there for another 6 hours or so.
And this is the thing, it's like, Hopper's clearly dealt with him so many times, and he has no issues with talking to Murray in front of the other cops and making a joke out of him, which is tough because obviously,
yeah,
we all know what actually happened to Barb.
Yes.
And it is tough, like, even though Hopper obviously inside must be like his insides must be clenching. Yeah. He has to play it off like, oh, don't be so stupid, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And he plays it very well.
He does.
Until he mentions a girl with a shaved head.
Yeah, that what they think is a Russian child. Yeah. And that's it. And that's when he takes him into his office because he obviously doesn't want the other cops to hear.
Yeah,
because exactly. And it also gives Hopper a bit of a chance to snoop a bit, doesn't he? Like, he's like, oh, has there been any recent sightings? Or
yeah.
He gets to literally put it back on Murray without Murray even realising.
Exactly, and that's it. He can use this now to make sure that, you know, Elle is still in secret.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, they still think she's got a shaved head.
Yeah.
We obviously know she doesn't later on. And, I mean, as far as we know, she has not left that cabin.
Yeah.
Until, you know, later on. So, yeah, I guess he knows full well there's going to be no recent sightings of her, but he's going to want to know what information is out there.
Yeah.
Just in case they're getting any inkling of where she might be.
Yeah. And this is the thing, it's like, he's protecting Elle in this scene. Obviously, we don't really know that, but I do remember thinking, you know, oh, Hopper is intrigued about trying to find Elle.
Yeah, well, that's it. Obviously, we see him leave the Ego in the last episode of season one.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's very clearly trying to entice her in.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, here he is. I guess you don't know that she's already waiting for him to come home.
Yes.
So you probably are thinking, oh, yeah, you're still trying to find her. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're still thinking of her, you know, it's not just Mike, and that's a nice thing.
You know, you can have a blissful moment thinking that maybe he and Mike are working together to find her.
A very, very blissful moment that doesn't last very long.
Not at all.
But no, like, Murray's character, you know, I remember thinking, oh, this is someone that could find out. He knows he knows a hell of a lot more than he realises.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, apparently Ted went out saying that there was a girl with a shaved head in his basement, and I'm like,
bloody Ted.
For God's sake, Ted.
Mm.
Get out.
Yeah. Just leave. Just take your chicken and go. Honestly. Yeah. Well, he doesn't make anything better, does he?
He really doesn't. He does not help himself because he's, oh my God, he practically bows down to the government.
Yeah.
Bows down to the lab. And now he's out there saying, oh yeah, my boy had a girl with a shaved head sleeping in the basement. And 2 seconds later, he now denies this.
Yeah.
It's like, what is wrong with you, my man?
I would have liked to have seen the scene where he got threatened, though, that you can't talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly, you've got to deny it.
Yeah, and I'm... Yeah, because those people who would have... He would have been bowing down to saying, oh, they are government. They would never do anything wrong about us.
Yeah.
Now they're at gunpoint, like, you speak a word about this, you're dead. It's like, yeah, they're there to protect you, aren't they?
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Ted.
It's all lies. And then it goes on to the next scene of Nancy and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And you had put about, you were surprised Steve was trying to do something academic.
Yeah, it immediately starts to try and shove it in your face that Steve truly is trying to change.
Yes.
I think. Because obviously last season, the only academic thing he wanted to do was a game of eventually stripping your clothes off if you get anything wrong.
Yeah.
That's all he wanted to do.
Wasn't showing the best of him, was it?
No. And then in this one, you know, he's genuinely asking Nancy for help.
Yeah.
And I mean, when he says, are you sure you can't come around later to help me? He's not saying that in a flirty, oh, surely you can help me later.
Well, that's way. It, because like the beginning of season one, Steve would be like, come on over, we can study and hang out.
Exactly. You know,
but he almost genuinely has like a voice break where he's like, can you come and help me tonight? And it's like voice, because
he's in a desperate case.
And he says, like, you know, early applications deadline is tomorrow. And that, yeah. I mean, that shows an extent of change, that he's going for the early application as well.
Yeah,
for college. That.
Yeah, exactly. And in his face, you can see the desperation as well.
Yeah. He
genuinely needs this.
And
so,
and again, he's another character, a bit like Dustin and Lucas, where he's trying to put it all behind him and live in the moment, I suppose,
yeah.
Because he's doing these college applications. And, you know, in that car, he says to Nancy that he loves her, and she says she loves him too.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, obviously, if she truly means that then, but...
While I was watching this, I was thinking it looks genuine from both parties.
Yeah.
They genuinely look like they are happy together.
Yeah, they do, to be fair. And it's quite a nice scene because he's like a reformed character in that scene as well.
Yeah.
They are very much on the same wavelength. They're both stressing over college.
Yeah, exactly. They're both, to an extent, managed to put last year behind them.
Yeah.
And move on with their normal lives.
Yeah.
And they're trying to help each other through that normal life.
Yeah. And, like, their scene is then broken into by the arrival of Billy and Max.
Yeah. They are here to rock us like a hurricane, all right.
Yeah. And that's it. I just remember noticing immediately that, you know, they don't interact whatsoever.
Not this time, anyway.
They go their separate ways. And I remember at the time, like, obviously, we didn't know anything about Billy at this point. But the way he, like, looks at Max as she walks away, at that time, I was like, oh, is he a bit of a concerned brother? Because he almost did have a bit of a concerned look on his face as she storms off.
Yeah, I mean, he'll try and play it off like that when he's talking about Lucas later on.
Oh, yeah. But this is it. It's probably just like he's watching her go and thinking, oh, she better not embarrass me. She better not do this or that. And, you know,
yeah,
she's someone else's problem now. It's probably like something like that. But yeah, I remember at the time, the first time, because, you know, we hadn't even heard him speak or nothing yet. I was like, oh, is he like a concerned brother? What's going on here? But yeah, the teenage girls certainly notice many features of Billy.
Yeah. The rear end.
The rear end of Billy.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's wearing the jeans well.
They're clinging on, all right.
And again, like, so much is happening in this first, like, episode already. Because then we go, like, straight to poor Will again.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got news articles that have been put into his locker that say Zombie Boy all over them. And it does break my heart for him, because it's like he never, ever, ever gets a break.
No, he doesn't, because that's it. Even before he vanished, he's got people insulting him for potentially being gay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even his own father.
Yeah.
And now he's gone to the Upside Down for a week, had to fend for his life.
Yeah.
Only to now come back and be Brandon Zombo.
Zombo.
Zombo Boy. I will stick with it and hold my head high.
All right, Zombo Boy.
Yeah, so not a break at all.
No, not
like,
at all.
You know, all the others have seemingly blissfully forgotten it or have managed to shove it down to the bottom of their minds. Meanwhile, everyone is very much trying to keep it at the forefront for poor old William.
Yeah, I think he's really brave, you know, to even be in school, because you'd think he'd want to be homeschooled, or at least Joyce would have wanted him to be homeschooled, like, to protect him from all of this bullying.
I fully bet that Joyce probably wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, brave on Will for being there, but he probably also wants that normality.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Because that's it. Like, the next scene is Mr. Clark's classroom. And you can see, like, Will is happy. Like, he's in an environment then that is suddenly...
Yeah, he's back in his
environment. His normality, you know.
Exactly. That's it. Because obviously he was very much there with them when they got the Ham Shack radio.
Yeah.
In season one. And
He gets to be like his most authentic self.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, he's managing to, again, forget for a moment what happened last year.
And that's it. Like, with Mr. Clark's teaching of the human brain, you have to laugh because... And also respect that that is a good teacher there. That is a teacher that's very passionate about science.
Yeah, the way he's like, no, I did not misspeak. Stutter, I did not stutter. There are that many neurons or whatever he's talking about inside that brain.
You can tell you clearly listened well to his science talk.
I
did indeed.
I was listening to every single word.
And that's it. And then he obviously gets interrupted because we have our new character, Max. Maxine Mayfield, who, you know, comes on into the classroom.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. Very much just like the boys are saying later on, you know, there's suddenly this new girl called Max. There's a new person called Mad Max kicking him off the leaderboard. It's very obvious that this has to be Mad Max.
Yes.
And a bit of trivia on Max, since apparently a few people were liking the trivia points that we were making last season. In the very first video game of Stranger Things came out, which I'm sure was only on phones, I can't remember if it had a particular name to it. Annoyingly, you cannot get it now on the app stores, though.
Oh, that's a shame.
Either way, when this game first came out, it released before Season 2, but it had Season 2 content in it, a bit like how they did the newer game.
Yes.
About Season 3 before Season 3 released.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, they released at the same time. Season 3, didn't they? Season 3 and the game came out at the exact same time. But, yeah, the game obviously had some information. Same thing here. So Max is in this game, despite it coming out before Season 2.
Right.
And what misled a lot of people about Max's character in the video game, I've not played it myself, but I'm sure she's the only character, other than Elle, who has powers.
That's interesting.
They gave her powers, and I don't know if that's something that the Duffers were planning and then scrapped.
Yeah.
Or if they misheard it, or if they just thought, hey, let's make her have powers for a laugh.
God, I mean, maybe she will in the future.
Well, yeah, like, now she's...
where is she hiding,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, that's it. Who knows? She might come out of this and be the most powerful person in the goddamn show.
Maybe. I mean, I do doubt it, but...
I doubt it, but...
You never know.
Stranger things have happened.
And that's it. Elle might have imparted something on her when she brought her back to life at the end of the day.
Well, this is it. Who knows?
But no, it is interesting. And I can imagine that would have confused people.
Yeah.
That she's got powers in that and
exactly,
suddenly
exactly, because I remember listening to another podcast. I remember them saying at this point that they were fully expecting Max to develop powers at some point throughout the season.
Yeah.
You know, because they were doing the same concept where they watch an episode and then record a podcast, and literally until the final episode, he's like, well, Max has got powers. The game said so. And he's like, no, she doesn't. The game lied to you, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You've got to take everything with a pinch of salt. And I'm actually going to divert very, very quickly away from the rewatch, because a lot of fans might have recently seen that Millie did an interview with Capital Radio in the UK. And
I need to listen to that.
Yeah, I actually saw a clip of it today. I've not seen the full thing yet. But she said how she had a meeting with, like, the Duffers, but not just them, but, like, directors, writers. And saw a whiteboard of what was going to happen to Elle.
I remember, yeah, she was saying that she needed to know what's happening, and so she was trying to make herself a meeting with them.
Yeah.
And basically, the way they describe it is that she essentially broke her way in.
Yeah.
And saw this whiteboard with, I guess, plot lines or just moments marked out on it. And there was something about, I think she says about Elle's ending, how her story ends or something. And, oh, the way she talks about it, the face she pulls.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to take that with a pinch of salt, because immediately I think we both thought the worst, didn't we?
Well, she seems to act as if it's that it goes that way, you know. But like you say, we can't trust her.
No offense, Billy.
At all. We cannot trust you because Summer of Love.
Yeah. First of all, we can't trust because of the Summer of Love. We can't trust because you are a bloody good actress.
Yeah.
So you could be saying anything to take us off the scent. But also, I would imagine she's not allowed to talk about...
Well, no, she's definitely not allowed to talk about it. But so I imagine
we could just be being played a bit.
Yeah, I imagine with how vague she's being here, that's probably not enough to break the rules and break an NDA. But I think, yeah, she's very much... The way she talks about it is very much fear-mongering, I think.
It is, but equally, it could totally be taken out of context and she could have looked emotional and sad because at the end of the day, that's the character she's played for many, many years.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. It could be the most beautiful ending, but it chokes her up to even think about it.
I was going
to
say, for all you know, it might jump ahead and there's an 11 wedding or something like that.
You never know.
Just like, I'm actually getting the wedding that I said I wanted all those years ago.
Yeah, that's it. Like, so kind of going back with the Max thing having powers, you've just got to take everything, haven't you, with a pinch of salt.
Exactly.
Because you never know the context. They are giving you what they want to give you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing with the games. Obviously, they're not the ones making them.
No.
It's another studio making the game and they get the information from the Duffers. But then I suppose... Unless the Duffs come along and say, no, change that right now.
Yeah.
They can do whatever the hell they want.
That's it. But I do think a lot of these things are more orchestrated than we think.
Yeah.
And things are said to either lead you off on a different trail or just to, like, keep you interested and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Thinking about it, it wouldn't surprise me if this whole thing with Millie and Capital is on purpose. Because... At the end of the day, Ross now has Instagram and is posting behind-the-scenes images of, like, you know, of, like, storyboards and...
I suppose they all want us talking about it and it's worked because
yeah.
we're all talking about it.
Yeah, they're trying to keep the audience interested and alive.
Yeah.
They're doing a far better job at it than they ever did through season 3 or 4.
Yeah,
you know, season 3 was Radio Silence and then they leaked the entire goddamn show before it released.
Yeah.
Season 4... You had nothing until the show released.
Which
literally.
I thought was brilliant, personally.
I mean, in the concept of no spoilers, fantastic.
Yeah.
But in the sense of keeping the fandom alive, it was an absolute drought.
It
and
was.
Everybody hated them.
But
that.
At the end of the day, look at the numbers of the people that watched it.
Oh,
it didn't affect the end result.
It really didn't, no. But I definitely love the way they're doing it here.
Yeah.
I love the tease of getting an image or a little clip of something going on and you feel like you're such a detective saying, oh, this must be happening.
Yeah.
It's so clearly this. And then the show releases and you're like, oh, what an idiot I was.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the clip that you saw or the picture you saw doesn't even show up in the show.
No.
And it was just there to just throw you off the scent, like you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I love it too, and I
live for that.
It drives us insane, but in like the best way.
Yeah, exactly. It's that insanity that just keeps you going.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to divert, but it kind of made sense to add that in. And obviously, that's what's happening in the fandom this week, really, isn't it?
It was only a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Although there is something else very exciting that was announced... Wasn't it a couple of days ago?
Ah, are you going on about the first shadow?
I am indeed.
Yeah, so again, if you're on our Instagram, I shared a post about this, but it is moving, I think they're going into Broadway.
They are in New York City.
Yeah,
they're going to New York City, so they've started casting, I think.
They have started casting for it, yeah.
So people, especially if you're in America, I'd even say Canada, get yourself to... NYC.
Yeah, if you can get yourself to... If you can't get to London to see our cast, then get yourself to NYC, because I'm sure they will cast it just as well.
It's 100% worth it. And I mean, clearly the Stranger Things team thinks so too, because more and more of the actors are going.
Well, yeah, like the latest is Joe Keery, wasn't it?
Yeah, Steve. Joe Keery. Yeah. Honestly, it is once in a lifetime. If you can go, just go.
Absolutely. Honestly, we had an entire episode dedicated on it for a reason.
Yes.
It needed that full podcast episode to talk about because it truly was like watching two episodes of Stranger Things. It was like having a prequel season two episodes long, sure, only 3 hours, but my God, the amount of stuff they packed into those 3 hours.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It really was. And I want to go again.
I want to go again. And, you know, it's a case where you rewatch the show, you know exactly what's going to happen, but you just want to go again just because you want to see that stuff happen again.
Yeah.
And it would just be amazing the second time around as well.
Yeah, hopefully we will get the chance.
I'd love to.
But yeah, everyone, honestly, especially super fans, if you can, save and get there if you can. And I think, actually, before we go back into talking about the first episode, looking at our time marker now, we've almost hit the first hour.
Yeah, we have. We're pretty much getting there. So I think this is the point here, as we've already decided, that this is where the episode needs to cut. So yeah. I think with that then, yeah, that does part one of Mad Max.
Yeah, you've literally had about an hour of us talking about it, and it's crazy, isn't it, to think that we haven't even finished this episode?
Exactly.
But that's
it. I think part two is nearly an hour as well, teaser.
Yeah. But there's just so much to talk about.
Exactly. And that's ridiculous. It's the first episode, so how long are the other ones going to be?
I know. Exciting, people.
Very exciting indeed. If you're one of the weirdos out there that enjoy this, then get excited.
You're all kind of weirdos.
Yes, we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
Crazy together.
So thank you so much for listening today, and we'll be back on Friday with chapter one, part two.
We said we wanted to catch up and have a few ready.
This is gonna work well.
But yeah, if they're all gonna have to split apart.
Yeah,
we've got our Monday and Friday,
because we can't stop talking.
Nope, can't stop, won't stop.
Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you soon.
We shall see you on Friday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.